Welcome to the Wayne Bennett Podcast, celebrating West Virginia people, places, and the culture of Southern Appalachia. Now here's your host, Wayne Bennett.
Welcome to Wayne Bennett's Podcast. This is episode 131, and it is February the 24th, 2024. And today our guest is a teacher, a humanitarian, and Ms. Sheila Hutchison. Welcome, Sheila.
Good morning.
Tell me a little bit about yourself. You're a Cannleton girl, aren't you?
Yes, I grew up in Fayette County, West Virginia.
Graduated from Valley High School.
Valley High School, yes, I did.
Tell me a little bit about your parents and growing up in that area. They don't have a Valley High School anymore.
No, Valley High School's been closed down. That's consolidated with Kanawha County Riverside, and kind of a sad situation. My niece was a senior, going to be the senior at Valley. She had to leave her last year to go to a new school for her senior year. So she's pretty upset about that, but she says she'll always be a Valley Greyhound.
You're a school teacher.
Yes, I'm a second grade teacher in Divide Elementary in Fayette County.
And you taught at one time at Hilltop Christian?
Yeah, Mountain View Christian School at Hilltop. I taught there for several years when I graduated, and it was a very good school and enjoyed it there. But then it was time to move on to public schools.
What did your parents, what did they do?
My mom worked at West Virginia Tech in the administration office. And my dad worked at Alchem Metals, the alloy plant, where they make metal.
Okay. You graduated from University of Charleston.
Yes, I did.
And I went to Morris Harvey. It's the same school, but we called it Morris Harvey. It about killed me when they changed the name of it. But a good school.
Yeah, wonderful school. Small classes and good student teaching experience and wonderful instructors. And a beautiful view of the river.
And when I go to the any of the alumni groups or whatever, I still wear a Morris Harvey shirt and a Morris Harvey hat. But great school. Now, how did you and Phil meet?
We met through one of my former students.
Really?
Yes, I had a student in my class, and his mom sang in the choir at the United Methodist Temple with Philip. And she was driving down to Charleston, and she passed the Paint Creek exit. And she knew I lived at Montgomery, which is the exit you take to get to Montgomery. And she thought, she was thinking about the choir, and then she thought about me living at Montgomery, and she put it together. And she said, I have somebody I want you to meet. And she told Philip the same thing. Then he called me, and we talked for over an hour on the phone, and we decided to meet. So we met with, her name was Leslie and her husband at the mall. And we went out there and went for a walk together. Then we went to the old K&W restaurant, the little cafe there, and we had dinner. And then after we walked at the mall, and we just took off walking and left Leslie and her husband behind. But ever since then, we just hit it off immediately.
Now, have you always been an animal lover?
Yes. I got my first puppy when I was 5 years old, and I've never not had a puppy or a dog since.
Is that right?
Yeah, my first one when I was 5 years old. And I was playing with stuffed animals as a baby in pictures. You can see I still had that little stuffed dog in my hands.
And how many animals do you have now?
We have several of our own dogs, and we have a couple fosters from the Blind Dog Rescue.
I see.
Yes. So we have several at our house and of our own, then fosters also. And it varies because, like, next weekend we'll be doing it overnight. So our number of dogs actually varies, and we'll do it overnight, and then we'll transport the dog the next day.
Now, how did you get into the transporting? How does that work?
Okay. What happened was back in 2014, our friend posted on Facebook a picture of a dog that was at the Buck Inn and Upshur Animal Shelter, and the shelter was full and it was running out of time, and she wanted somebody to take it to a home. So we contacted her and asked about it because we were worried about this dog. So we went to the shelter and we picked up the dog Penny, who we still have today, and that's how we met this lady. And then she posted later, the lady that we got Penny from, she posted that it was a flood in 2016 and they needed kennels. And she said, could you transport these kennels for me? Because these dogs had no place to stay because their owners are going into shelters and places, but you can't take your dog. And so we said, sure. And we got up there and we didn't realize these were not dog crates. They were big animal shelter cages. And we couldn't fit them in our truck. It wouldn't even fit in our truck. So we had to rent a trailer. And we rented that trailer and we drove that on these flood broken roads. And that was a very scary experience. And then we were asked to transport some dog houses, which did fit my truck. And that's what kind of got us started. Then the next call, they wanted if we could transport actual dogs. At first I thought, wait a minute, I don't know if I want to do this because I was really hesitant. But the same lady asked us to do the kennels and dog castles was now asking us to transport dogs. So in August 16th, 2016, we did our first transport, two dogs. Scooter and Tally were their names. I still remember them. And we learned how to double-ish them because rescue dogs are always scared. They don't know who they're with. They don't know where they're going. So yeah. We learned you always have two leashes on them in case they get scared and try to run, pull out of one. You had the other to secure them. And we learned how to tether them in the car and how to protect our car because we always put like a cover down that's waterproof just in case they have an accident and extra covers. And so they feel more secure and we do too. But that's how we got started. It was really like dog kennels at first, and then it gradually became dogs. And ever since then, almost every weekend we have a transport. Sometimes we have requests for 3 to 4 people request a transport.
When you transport them, do you haul them all in crates or do you hold some of them? Or
it all depends on the dog and the rescue we're transporting for. Most of them we like to tether to the back to make sure they're secure and so we can still interact with them, but they're still in the back seat. So we have to make sure they're secured at all time in case you'd have an accident. The dog wouldn't be free.
Yeah.
Some prefer crates because they're safety, and some of them are more scared, and they want to be in the crate. So we just do whatever they tell us to on what's called our run sheet. When you do a transport, they send you a run sheet to tell you what time you're going to pick up the dog, where, what vehicle you're going to meet, and they put in the run sheet if they prefer crating or tethering. And sometimes there are even no paws on ground, like especially puppies, if they haven't had all their shots. You can't let them touch the ground. You had to use a tarp or an animal crate or something to put down under them because they haven't had their shots and it's not safe to be on the ground.
Huh.
So we learned all that.
I didn't know you could even transport them if they hadn't had their shots.
Yeah, they had to have a health certificate for their first shot. But like if puppies need at least 3 sets of shots, if only one set, you can't put them on the ground. You had to put a tarp under them.
Do you have to have a license to do this? Like no. USDA or something?
No, you just have to have a personal background check. They ask for your license and they ask for personal references before you do transports and check up on you to make sure someone's safe to getting a dog, but nothing in writing.
Other than personal experience, do they train you? Does anybody train you or you just train yourself?
Basically, the person we met on our first transport showed us how to double-ish and we do watch videos. They send you videos about what no paws on the ground means and how to tether a dog safely. They send you videos to watch, basically, to train you. And you just learn from each other.
How far have you transported?
Our longest transport, I think, was maybe 2.5 hours. We did a double leg, what they call a double leg. A normal leg of transport is usually 1 to 1.5 hours one way.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
We usually go to Withfield, Charleston, Lewisburg, places like that.
So you have to set up a time to pick up the dog, and then you have to set up a time to drop the dog.
Right.
You don't haul any cats or anything, just
We've
dogs.
Only done one cat, and Philip got stuffy after, so we didn't do any more cats because of allergies, but just dogs.
Yeah. Now, when you drop them off, is it foster people or people that the owners or shelters, or who do you drop
them? Most of the time we get them from shelters. And they're going to a foster family. Sometimes it's a foster to adopt, but sometimes it is to a real family that's been adopted. Depends on the situation. So all those. But the transport coordinator, she's the one that sets up all the legs of the transport. She tells us where you're going to pick up, where you're going to drop off, who you're meeting. Uh-huh. We get cell phone numbers, and we usually set up like a Facebook chat so we can stay in touch if we're running behind or early.
Do you know ahead of time when you're going to be working, or do they call you 24 hours before?
Usually about a week before. Like, we already have one lined up for next Saturday.
I see.
Yeah, so it's usually a week before. And usually we get 3 or 4 requests every week, and we just can do one. We've done 2 before, but it's really pushing it because sometimes one will run behind and make you late for the other. So it's very rare we do 2 unless it's an emergency situation.
What's the most you ever hauled at one time? How many dogs?
We had 5 puppies one time.
Wow.
It was a full crate. We had 5 puppies, and we had to transfer the crate. Now it took like 3 people to lift the crate. Even though they were small puppies, they were pretty heavy. They were happy little puppies. And we transported blind ones, deaf ones, and everything in between.
Do you get paid for this, or do you?
No, it's
all volunteer.
It's all volunteer.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So you've got expenses.
Yes.
I didn't know whether you know, you hauled them to New Jersey or anything like that?
Usually just hour and a half's about their maximum on the normal one.
Well, I know there's some commercial transporters out there. I mean, even airplanes, you know, with people sometimes will pay to have their pets stranded. And then I also read where some of these semi-truck drivers, if they're going a certain direction and they want to do it, that they'll haul mainly dogs, I guess. And but they don't come and meet you. Usually you have to go where they are.
Right. We've had the blind dog rescue sometimes fly dogs to a certain point. Then they get transporters to take them the rest of the way. That's the only one I've known that really used to, I think they call it pilots for paws.
What, there's some commercial outfits like what they call Happy Trails and Charity Paws and Flight Nanny and Operation Roger. Are all these pretty reputable people that you know of? Or
I don't know anything about them. The ones you pay, I've never heard of them.
Yeah.
Except the one, like I said, the pilots for paws that Blind Dog Rescue uses.
And you've been doing this since 2016?
Yes, 2016. We kind of got addicted to it. Once you help them, the dogs are so appreciative. They really are. And all the dogs, except for a couple, have been really friendly. And we had a dog that one time didn't want to get out of the car for a person. We had to, like, two legs down the road, like in Ohio, the dog just got shut down, didn't want to get out of the car. They had a hard time getting it out. It just wouldn't come out.
Yeah.
But most dogs are friendly. They get in and out for you, and they have a good time. And they know they're free. They appreciate you.
How come we got so many homeless dogs in the South that we're moving toward the North? I mean, why is it people just don't?
They try to move them to where there's more demand for them. And we've transported several to Canada. Because in Canada, and then they shut the borders down for a while. And they wouldn't let any dogs come over, but now I think it's opening back up again. But I don't know what the deal was with that. But we've sent dogs to Canada. And some of our blind dogs have come from Canada, so they can even cross the border sometimes.
Yeah. It's sad that our kennels and our shelters around here are just exploding.
Yeah, so sad.
And what do you think the answer is to
spay and neuter? Spay and neuter and just keep your pets. People are turning pets in, like, after COVID was over, a lot of people took their pets to the shelter because they had to go back to work. They couldn't be home with them, but a dog sleeping home on your couch is happier than a dog in a shelter. You know, just keep your own dog, get it spayed and neutered, and just be responsible. And I think it's a really sad situation because it's not the dog's fault at all.
Well, you guys don't get to take many vacations with all the animals.
No, we don't. No, it's one thing we don't do. We don't take a lot of vacations because our dogs are our family.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we have a dog and a cat, and we usually, our son will take care of them while we're gone. We tried to take the dog a couple of times on vacation, but she doesn't get along with other dogs very well, and that's kind of a...
Right.
We took her to a dog beach in Florida once, and it was a disaster. All the other dogs were having a great time playing, and she just didn't like anybody, and so we kind of learned we're not going to take her anywhere. Sheila, you and Phil are great, you people, humanitarians, and keep on doing what you're doing. And I appreciate you coming and talking to me. And anything else you want to add to the program?
Well, one time, Philip was wanting me to tell you the story about how we rescued one of our puppies that my mom still has. And there was one of his friends in Beckley called us and said, I have a dog who's had puppies underneath my building, my garage. And he said, I'm allergic to dogs. So we went over there, and a lady came and helped us, and we chased puppies around for 3 days trying to catch five puppies. And we finally caught the puppies, and my niece wanted one of them. So she begged her mom also, could I have one, please? And she adopted Lucy. The others went to a rescue in Maryland, and they finally caught the mama dog. She was hard to catch because she was scared.
Yeah.
And these puppies were all scared, but that was an interesting experience. And usually we're just transporters, but this time we actually helped to actually rescue these puppies, and it was a really good feeling.
Well, good for you. And I appreciate you coming and talking to us, and come back anytime. If you got some news, we'd like to hear from you.
Thank you very much.
And, anybody else out there that would, what if somebody is interested in becoming a transporter?
There's many places on Facebook. West Virginia Transport's one of them, and I-81 Transport. If you just go to Facebook and you type in transport, you'll get lots of people that need transports and people to drive for. We need drivers. Like I said, we get requests 3 and 4 times sometimes each week. So we need more drivers.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Well, we need more Sheilas and Phils, too. Anybody else out there would like to be on our program, you can contact me at awbennett50@gmail.com, and we'll get you on here. And until next time, remember, if you're not dead yet, you're not done yet. God bless you.
Even when they weren't in style. I remember singing with Will Rogers at the movies when the West was really wild. I was listening to the Opry when all of my friends were digging rock and roll and rhythm and blues. I was country when country wasn't cool.